It's August 25th, 2021. This is Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. I'm your host, Bruce Krentz. I had a little bit of time off this summer. I wonder what other people did on their summer vacation. I think I'll make some calls, starting with our CEO, Helga Bryant. I hope she took a little bit of time this summer.
Hi, Bruce. I hope you have been having a good summer.
Yeah, it's been great. I got a bit of time at our cottage and lots of sun. How about you?
You know, for me, I did spend some time at our lake home, which, you know, involved some boating and spending time with kids and grandkids, given that the restrictions lifted a little bit. So we could do that, which was really, really nice.
Excellent. A little time with your family. We're heading into fall now. What do you think's in store for us in September?
Well, you know, I think there's a few things coming up. I mean, we know from what's happening around the world and in other parts of Canada even, that wave four is you know, a reality. Certainly, we're not beginning to see it yet in Manitoba, but we've lagged behind throughout the entire pandemic. So I expect that will be the case again, that there will be a wave four. We also know that wave four really is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. By far the highest number of people in hospital and in ICUs currently with COVID are the Delta variant and are unvaccinated, upwards of 90%. So it's so important that people get vaccinated. It is the only way out of this pandemic. You know, you sort of can't turn on the news or open a newspaper without hearing and seeing about the groundswell around mandatory vaccinations. Different governments are having that conversation, ours included. You know, Doctors Manitoba, various unions, the Canadian Nursing Association are all coming out specifically related to healthcare, that really it is the professional responsibility of healthcare providers to protect their patients. And part of that protection is to get vaccinated.
I feel like we in the North have done a great job of pushing up those vaccination rates.
You know, I think today, the 23rd, we actually have a mobile clinic going into Moose Lake. So they're taking a bus and doing vaccinations right in communities. Much more of an outreach. We're going to playgrounds, to, you know, wherever sort of people gather, and encouraging them to take vaccinations. You know, we've hit that 80, 75% indicator for the province, which is great. And we are a little bit higher than that in the north. So I am hopeful that we will have a wave four, but our vaccination rate will greatly mitigate wave four. Great for Northerners that they've embraced becoming vaccinated, that they understand the importance of it, and that they've stepped up to get the shot. I'm just really proud of the North.
Thanks for taking my call today, Helga. Let's talk again soon.
You're welcome, Bruce. Bye for now.
Helga and I both got out to the lake a bit this summer. I wonder if Gurdeep Jassel did. He's a financial analyst, has an office right beside mine. I've barely seen him all summer. I wonder what he got up to. Hi there, Gurdeep. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm great, and I'm glad that I caught up with you. What have you been up to, man? How's your summer been?
Oh, my summer's been good. It's a little quiet, similar to last year. A little bit of a staycation. You know, my family and I did, you know, have an opportunity to go to Clearwater and Winnipeg this summer. So we did get a little bit of social activity. But, you know, trying to stay safe this summer with COVID and after getting vaccinated was good. But all in all, it was a nice, quiet summer.
I got to say, is Clearwater a beautiful spot or what? Our work colleagues who live and work around there, man, it's what a gem.
As soon as I got there, I'm like, how are they so lucky to be beside this?
It's pretty crazy. It's a beautiful spot. To a lot of us, finance is just finance. It's this great big office full of people and we don't really know what happens inside it. And so tell us a little bit about your piece of the puzzle inside of finance.
As a financial analyst, my role as part of the financial analyst team involves gathering operational and financial data from our managers and having discussions around that information to find ways to basically improve it or make its value increase going forward. That can include reviewing our budgets and reviewing forecasts.
You and I have had a couple of calls where you phoned and said one of them recently was around some tobacco funding and said, hey, you know, it doesn't seem like we're spending as much money as we did in years past. What's going on here? And it wasn't a call saying, hey, you're losing all this money out of your budget. It was a fact-finding mission, basically, right? And so is that right. Part of your position?
I like to make sure that we're all on the same page. I don't like the information asymmetry, you know. It's good that we're aligning what operations has and finance has, so that way everything's smooth from there. As soon as I have information you don't, or you have information I don't, it becomes a little hairy.
I mean, I gave a little example with our tobacco funding, but do you have any more sort of concrete examples of what you do, or what's a project that you're working on right now?
Well, a current project right now is basically improving our reporting process for the managers. Problem is we use sometimes software that can be intimidating for people who don't use it day in, day out, right? I like to open up Excel every day and I enjoy using Excel. I love the formulas and functions part of it. And every day, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't use Excel.
You're a special person because I'd be happy never to open Excel.
So, and that is why part of the project involves streamlining and improving the way our system talks to basically on the operation side, because we don't want it so that you have to scroll through 100 or 1,000 lines of information. We need the information to be as simple and direct as possible. So that's part of what we're working on.
Well, when the people find out that you like Excel and you know what you're doing, you're going to get a lot of calls.
I say bring them on. I enjoy every minute I spend in that.
As managers, we often get, you know, pulled in other directions. And for some people, the financial end of it is probably not the favorite part of our day. And so to know that there's some resources there and somebody who's working on that on our behalf is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Super. Hey, thanks for letting me take your temperature. Hopefully we can talk again soon.
Absolutely, Bruce. Take care.
Speaking of Clearwater Lake and the PAW, I know Dee Harvey, one of our community health developers, and her partner, Krista Tooley, who works for the Play It Safer Network, kept their peer program running all summer. They're often together in Dee's office. I wonder if they're there now. Hi there, Dee and Krista. The first time I'm taking two people's temperature. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Bruce?
I'm happy to be able to talk to both of you. Dee, I'm going to start with you. You and Krista work together very closely. Krista is the coordinator of the Play It Safer Network for the PAW, OCN, that whole area. And you work together on a number of projects, and one of them that you're working together on is a peer group. So can you just tell me what the peer group is all about?
The peer group is run through the Play It Safer Network. Peers are considered folks that have lived experience, people that use drugs. We wanted to get, you know, their feedback. We wanted to get what's going on with them. We wanted to get their input. We wanted to understand where they're at so that we could help support them. And also for them to help facilitate change as well. And so they are the core of our group. So far, it's been really good. Our peer group is really about building relationships, building those connections, providing support, providing education, information, and just having that good relationship so that we can taking steps to reduce the stigma for people that use drugs. One of the core principles that we have with our peer group is that we want to meet people where they're at. So we often will meet people in Oscar's place. They often leave early in the morning. And so in order to accommodate them better, we often will meet with them around 8:30 in the morning. We can talk to each other. And we always ask the peers how they're doing, how they're feeling, and getting, as you say, and taking the temperature. We take the temperature with our peers as well. And then we go ahead and see what we want to do in terms of training and educational learning and things like that.
It's a very close partnership with the Play It Safer Network. Krista, can you just tell us what the Play It Safer Network is and what it's all about?
Play It Safer Network is there as a support and a network of community organizations, the RHA and things like that, that can provide support to some of these folks when and if needed or asked for support. And we're able to also hold some really cool events and have our peers around as well, which is really fun.
A very community development grassroots approach. Nothing for me without me, nothing about me without me.
Nothing about us without us.
You have an event coming up
We had a hepatitis awareness event in July. We didn't have it on hepatitis awareness day because being peer-led, our peers kind of told us, oh, that day's not going to work for us. So we had it a week early and we had some really great turnout and were able to play some games and educate folks and give them some information and have some folks tested, which was really great. And coming up on August 31st, which is Overdose Awareness Day, the event will run from 11 to 3 and we'll have games and food and prizes and a whole bunch of fun stuff for folks to come out and take a look. We will also be offering free naloxone training and the opportunity to get naloxone if someone is interested in having that information and having that on hand. And we will be working with our peers. Our peers will come out and recruit their peers and come and help us run the event.
You guys have been busy most of the summer, so top marks to you for keeping that chugging along. But I'm hoping you got a little bit of time off. What was, in one sentence, what was the highlight of your summer?
I would say going out and connecting with the land and being by the water, as well as being asked to be a judge for the OID Princess pageant this week.
Wow, how cool was that? And yeah.
Dee? One of the biggest highlights is enjoying our beautiful landscape around here and enjoying Clearwater Lake. And I think just, you know, enjoying what the community has as well. With COVID, of course, you know, we haven't been traveling as much, so appreciating our community. I just discovered there's a little lookout at Grace Lake that I really want to check out as well. So discovering things that are in your backyard.
Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Bruce.
Dr. Singh just started as our chief medical officer at the beginning of July. Wonder how that's going and if he got any time off. I think I'll check. Hello, Dr. Singh. It's been a while since we talked. I'm wondering, how's your summer been?
So my summer has been really great. Like, I started this new role July 1st, as you know, as the regional lead medical services and chief medical officer. And I actually just moved into a new house on Manison Drive, where it's just opposite the Brentwood River, like really nice views that we always wanted to stay there. And the other unexpected thing that happened this summer is we went to Churchill for a week. So that was a work trip for my wife, but we had a blast watching beluga whales. So it's been a great summer, I would say, with COVID down as well.
You've been in your role since July. How's it been so far?
So it's been kind of like a great transitioning into this role over the summer. Because in terms of operational side of things, like summer's not been as busy, although we've had lots of issues happening, like with flooding at PACU and other stuff like forest fires, evacuations. So much, always something interesting going on, as you know, in the north. But we can kind of now start shifting focus to like other things. How will the post-pandemic world will look like? So yeah. As of September, what I have heard like from the meetings I've been attending early on, and at this point I'm mostly in the listener mode. I'm just trying to absorb the information to see like I can help make better decisions in the medical staff world, as well as for the operational side as well, because we kind of work together, right? Like the operations and medical staff services are. And as you know, like COVID has disrupted that over the last year and a half. Like one example I would use, like a cancellation of elective surgeries. So that we kind of generated a huge list, like a backlog of surgeries. On top of that, we've kind of like accumulated people with like issues that were minor are now becoming major. So we're seeing people now kind of presenting with a higher level of illness than they would have, because now they're like, maybe if they were going to be detected as stage one cancer, now they're getting detected at like stage 2, 3, or even 4 sometimes, right? Which is unfortunate, which puts like more strain on the healthcare system, but also for the patient's side of things, like their journey is way different when they're kind of getting diagnosed at higher level of disease.
Are there any highlights you've picked up in your first couple months on the job?
I'm a big proponent of virtual care. It's great. Like it's kind of helped us keep our patients safe and but also served. at the same time, like they were still able to get the service. And now we've come to the point where patients actually love virtual care. So I was talking to Jake Davids, who's the director of primary care now. As you know, he started his role recently as well. And I was talking to him yesterday, and he mentioned like the patients love the virtual care so much that they don't want to book in-person appointments sometimes. Like patient-driven than the provider-driven at this point. Yeah, which is good because they're enjoying it, right?
Can you even take a guess or a prediction? What do you think coming out of the pandemic, you think we'd get to 50-50 virtual and in-person care? What?
So actually, like we are pretty much there right now at 50-50, and the Shared Health has posted some guidance that it should be like 75% in-person and 25% virtual. But that's only during the times when the pandemic is slowed. But like if we do get a fourth wave, I'm guessing 50-50 is probably the right amount, I think, that we should be hoping for to keep our people safe. And also the limitation of our waiting rooms, like we can't have too many people with the physical distancing measures. Yeah. So that's a good number. So you kind of came up with a good magical number, I think.
It was just a lucky guess.
One thing that's actually been better and something I was thinking of for the last little while is that our COVID meetings are much shorter now. So at least some COVID is going off. Like yesterday, I was just telling somebody that let's arrange a meeting at this time. And I have a meeting before that, which is related to COVID, but I'm sure will be done faster. It won't go for the whole hour. The meeting lasted only 30 minutes, and then I could jump into the next meeting.
Are you sick and tired of COVID meetings?
Not really, because now they're all about vaccines, and they're very fun and enjoyable. So, they're more about vaccines and how we can improve vaccination rates, which is an exciting topic, rather than talking about the COVID itself. So,
thanks so much for talking to me, Harsail. I hope we can do it again soon.
Yes, thank you so much, and anytime, feel free to reach out to me.
From Clearwater all the way up to Churchill. Doesn't sound like we moved around too much, but we got out and about a bit this summer. It was nice connecting with Helga, Gurdeep, Dee, Krista, and Dr. Singh. If you want me to connect with you and take your temperature, or you've got someone you think I should check in on, just drop me an email, bkrentz@nrha.ca.